And any adults who think they should go? So next Sunday, we will start the new schedule or new order of service. Also, on the second, there was an announcement I missed. Second Monday of every month at 9:30, there's Bible trivia here in the family or the fireside room. All right, so that's the second Tuesday of each month, Bible trivia. Anybody can come. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." When life gets busy and things begin to go wrong, we're prone to get upset and stressed out. Many times we call out to God and ask why this is happening to us who are doing our best to serve and please our Heavenly Father. It's at times like this that we need to think of our Heavenly Father as the Apostle Paul addressed him as the God of all comfort. We all like to be comfortable. We like our air conditioning when it gets hot. We like to be comfortable. Do you realize that God is the one who makes us comfortable? A few years ago, not that many years ago, but a few years ago, air conditioning was not a well-known thing. We used to open the windows and the door and hope that there was a bit of a wind to draft through the house and cool things off. The Arabs sleep on their roofs so they can be out there in the air because it's so hot inside. We enjoy comfort. We expect it. As we read God's word, the Bible, we read of the various times that God comforted those who were stressed in some difficulty. There was a time when one man refused to be comforted. His sons and his daughter had gone to him to comfort him, and he declared that he would die without comfort. Let's look at that story. We'll find it in Genesis chapter 37. It involves Joseph and his brothers. Genesis chapter 37. It begins at verse 27. I'm going to go ahead and read the entire passage. Then we'll make some comments on it. Genesis 37, 27 through 35. "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned to his brethren and said, "The child is not, and whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dip the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, thus have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph, without doubt, rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Here's an interesting aspect of this story. The very ones who caused his discomfort, the very ones who created his discomfort, were the ones who were trying to fix things. They couldn't undo what they had done, what they had started. They had caused Jacob's discomfort, and they were not in a position to undo his discomfort. If they told him what they had done, he would have disowned them. He would have ostracized them. They couldn't even pray for Jacob. They had caused his discomfort. Many years later, Jacob was going to find out about what they had done. Be sure that your sin will find you out. This is a saying that Moses gave to Israel. It had to do with the Israelites taking possession of the promised land. We find it in Numbers 32, 20 through 23. Numbers 32, 20 through 23 says, and Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Isn't it amazing? Everything that is done according to God's directives turns out being comfortable. But things done wrong are not comfortable. If we do things right, we can be comfortable, even if something goes wrong. We'll know that we did what we were supposed to do, and that will be a comfort to us. We can be sure that God will comfort us. But there's another person whose job it is to comfort us. That's the Holy Spirit. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have the Holy Spirit living in your soul. God has given us a verse that has to do with comfort. In this case, Paul was the recipient of the comfort. Acts 9, 29 through 31. Tells us about it. Acts 9, 29 through 31. Says, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. There's a lesson that we can learn from this experience of Paul's. One of the jobs of the Christian is to make others comfortable around us. We are not to be involved in causing confusion, especially in the church. God's word clearly tells us that. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." If there's something causing confusion, we can know that it is the devil who is promoting it. Now, we have experienced the comfort of God, God the Father, and we have been comforted by the Holy Spirit, and we know that we have comfort in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So where are we going to look for comfort? We know that the Father is with the Son in heaven and should be there until he comes back for his church. We also know that the Holy Spirit is here with us because he has indwelled us. So we think about what we should do, have all the time. We should have comfort. What is the first part of the fruit that the Spirit brings to our souls when he indwells us? We find it in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And that says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If we have peace, we should be comforted. The Apostle Paul wrote about the comfort when he wrote the second letter to the Corinthians. He made a statement in the very first chapter, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God," and that would be the Holy Spirit working in us. I really hope that you see and understand what we are being told by the Apostle Paul. God is the source of all comfort. We're told that in verse 3. God comforts us so that we can be a comfort to those around us, to the other people who are part of this church. We all have our difficulties, and there are times when we need to be comforted. So God comforts us so that we can comfort others when they are in any kind of distress. Every single one of us have a ministry for the Lord. And part of that ministry is being a comfort to those who need it. For love of the brethren is a motivation that produces our motive for wanting to comfort our brothers and sisters in Christ. There are a couple of statements made by Paul to the Corinthian church that we need to look at as we think about comfort. Paul pointed out that we must be comforted in order to comfort others. And he gave us a good illustration in the same book. We'll start with our own comfort, as we just read. God comforts us so that we can comfort others who are going through the same things that we just experienced. It's sort of like having walked in the same place. and had the same thing happen to us that has happened to a brother or sister in Christ. You see, we cannot comfort someone else if we are suffering some kind of tribulation or discomfort. That gets us stirred up inside, and we lose any comfort that we may have had. Paul tells us that God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And that is part of our ministry for our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be a comfort to others who do not know Jesus Christ. And that can be a way of sharing him with them. We can also comfort brothers and sisters because they know the same thing that we know about Jesus. They may just have forgotten about them, and we can remind them about what we have in Jesus Christ. Paul uses Titus as an example of how we can be a comfort to a fellow servant. 2 Corinthians 7, 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 7, 13 and 14. Paul tells us, "Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For I have boasted anything to him of you. I am not ashamed, but as we spake of things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found of a truth." When our missionaries come to give us a report of how the Lord has used them in the field of their ministry, we can be a comfort to them by caring for them and any need that they might have. There are so many ways that we can be a comfort to one of God's missionaries. We can provide a place for them to stay for the time that they are with us. Hotel rooms are an expense that most missionaries can't afford, especially those who are on deputation and they're trying to raise support to get to a field. They've had to quit their jobs in most cases, and they're dependent upon God for their support. It's a privilege to serve God, and God takes care of his own, or at least he tries to, through his people, and you're his people. So he is going to use you to meet the needs of his missionaries. The Apostle Paul had one more comfort in 1 Thessalonians that I would like for us to look at. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, that ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you." Excuse me. God has given each of us abilities that not everybody has. And there are those who lack some of these abilities that God gives us. And so we are told to be a comfort to those who lack some of these things. The Greek word translated feeble-minded has a much more desirable meaning. Let me share that with you. The word means little-spirited or faint-hearted. It has nothing to do with mental capacity. It has to do with shyness. We are to step up and help those who may be shy and those who have little self-confidence by encouraging them to be self-assured. Self-assured enough to tell others what Jesus has done for them. That's how we comfort those who are less self-assured. So, what have we learned about our role in comforting those around us? We have learned that God comforts us so that we can comfort our brothers and sisters. We also learned that it is God who provides our comfort. We can use another believer to be a comfort that we need right at the moment. When Connie died, some of you provided the needed comfort that I sought. You responded like the Lord wanted you to respond. What the Lord did then helped me to be able to comfort others as they went through the same experience at a latter time. So let the Lord use you to be a comfort to your brothers and sisters when they need comforting. Father, help each one of us be an answer to prayer for someone who needs comfort this morning. Help us to do the things that you give us opportunity to do. And Father, may your will be done here in this ministry. In everything that we do, help us to reach out and comfort those around us. Use us, Father, to glorify yourself, and we will praise you for all the things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.